Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good morning, folks. Troy Dooley with Radio for Your Mind. And I don't know about you, but I think today has got to be one of the greatest rocking days out there. You know, I've been at this thing this morning since about 5 o'clock. Met with a great friend, somebody that I just appreciate, have got to know. It's like a son. And we're just spending some quality time. And, you know, as I was talking with him and we were sharing, I got to thinking, man, what a great time in life to be alive. You know, I was looking back at Chet's book, The Ultimate Sales Machine, Turbocharge Your Business with Relentless Focus. And I thought, man, isn't this what it's about? I mean, it's not about the down economy. It's not about an oil spill. It's not about our woes. But it's about making a difference in our lives. And to do that, we've got to equip ourselves on a physical basis, a mental basis, spiritual basis, you know, the business, everything, if we're going to kick this up a notch and really make it happen. And that's what brings us to today's training, the 7 musts of marketing. Turbocharge every aspect of your primary marketing effort. And I looked at this because, you know, Chet's just a nuts and bolts guy. If you haven't bought this book, if you haven't been to ChetHolmes.com, I strongly suggest you get over there and you do this, because this book is a phenomenal read. It's a phenomenal book. It's just fantastic. And here are the 7 musts, and we're going to get into these individually, but I want to share these. Number one is advertising. That's a must. If you're not advertising your business, if you're not advertising your brand, if you're not advertising who you are, how in the heck do you expect to make any money? It's that plain and simple. You have to be the expert. Now, I'm not talking about advertising your company. We're going to get into this. I'm talking about advertising yourself. Number 2, direct mail. This is a lost art. This is something a lot of people don't do. We all get stuck in the internet. Well, let me share a little secret with you. Matter of fact, we may do a training on this in upcoming weeks. Direct mail is how I got started. I used to go and I'd buy the postcards and I'd write creative little things on them and we'd send them out to prospects. Did you realize that the post office is losing money because everybody's doing stuff on the internet? Have you noticed that your junk mail has gone down? I'm telling you, direct mail is still an untapped market. Number 3, corporate literature, brochures, and promotional pieces. Most companies, most individuals, they just don't do a good job at this. Now, there's some great ones out there. Primerica is one of the few exceptions to this rule that I've seen. Powerful literature, powerful stuff that they've created. Man, I mean, it rocks. Number 3 is in public relations. Now, there's a company out there that I've dogged called Global Verge. You talk about public relations. Lately, they have really gotten their act together with what they're doing, both at the CEO, the president level, and with their attorneys, and it's working out phenomenally well. Number 5, personal contact. This comes up to salespeople and customer service. I was on the phone with a CEO yesterday, very young CEO, 27 years old. This is the second successful venture that he's launched. And he said, Troy, I don't mind outsourcing anything except commissions and customer service. I want to have my hands on top of that. And I thought, wow, man, that's smart right there. Number 6, market education. Trade shows, speaking engagement, educational-based marketing. And number 7, the internet, websites, emails, and affiliate marketing. Now, we're going to cover all that. This has been where I have really focused my efforts over the last few years, is helping businesses in these 7 areas. And it was amazing when I saw that Chuck was working on this, because this is what sets the difference for people. Now, most large corporations are already doing this in one facet or the other, but very few of the small businesses, very few mom and pops, very few one-man armies are out there taking care of business like this, like they should. Let's look at the first one, advertising. Here's what Chet writes. If you have the budget for it, advertising has the broadest reach and creates the most top-of-mind awareness. When I worked with Charles Munger, I headed up a 4-year study on what kinds of ads got the best response. Whoa, now that's pretty spectacular right there. They did a 4-year study. Most people just slap it together. You can't do that. It takes a true knack. You've got to do test after test, split testing, all kinds of stuff. And a lot of people say, well, I don't have time to learn all that. There's ways around that. There's ways that you can make that happen. There's books and research papers that you can get. See, here's what you need to do. There's four rules when you look at high response advertising. And really, I don't care what channel you're using, these four work with every one of them. Number one, it must be distinctive. Chet writes, the first important thing about your ad is whether or not it attracts attention. Now, just any attention isn't going to work. GoDaddy has got some phenomenal ads that are really edgy, you know, talk about, and they pulled them off of the old Super Bowl deal where one of the Jackson girls' boob fell out. So they always do these little spiffs using these quote unquote sexy gals. The problem is when you talk to individuals out on the street, most of them don't have a clue what GoDaddy is. So you want to make sure it's distinctive. You want to make sure it stays in a person's mind. But you want to make sure that they understand what it is for. One of the greatest ads to this day, and it ran when I was a kid, and I'm 46 years old, was We Are the World by Coca-Cola. And they were bringing together the whole world back during the Vietnam era. Boom. One of the other ads that really has stuck into my mind for years is the Jolly Green Giant ads. You know, when you look at those, you realize, wow, there was something there. When you look at the old Palmolive ad where you had the little gal putting the fingers in the dishwashing soap, the manicurist, certain things stand out. Chevy's old truck commercial. I'm a Ford guy, but Chevy's old truck commercial with the Like a Rock. You know, you just certain things stand out. Those are what you're looking for. Things that will stand out that are catchy. Budweiser's horses stand out. Geico's little gecko stands out. You want to put an ad together that really stands out, one that they can recall quickly. I remember Southwest Airlines was the first ones where their waitresses, or not waitresses, ladies, please forgive me, their stewardesses back then, thank goodness their stewards don't do this today, but the stewardess back then wore hot pants. And that was really a big, big thing. See, when you're focused on this, it'll work. You can even bring it up general, MTV's talking head there, you know, for a while. That was the big thing. This is what you have to look at. This is what you've got to focus on. You want it to stand out. You want it to be hip. You want people to be able to connect with it. Mountain Dew has had some of the greatest commercials ever on TV. You get into it, and you remember where it's coming from. Number two, you've got to have you got to capture the attention with a screaming headline. This is important. Whether it's a headline or a subject line, it's the same principle. You got to have something that's going to grab the attention. Okay. One of them that Chet said, it says, tell me what you want to tell me in 3.2 seconds. Well, that's pretty powerful right there. You know, when you look at the head, and you should spend, honestly, you should invest more time probably on your headline, your titles, than you do anything else. That's what's going to get you the people looking at it, opening it up, going with it. Russell Bronson, a mentor of mine in internet marketing, actually uses the envelopes that he sends out his information in as headline grabbers to make you want to open the envelope. You know, and gosh, guys, we can't cover all this in just 30 minutes. It's not like I can give you all the nits and bits. This is just to help you get started. Buy the doggone book. I'm telling you, it'll be a great start. It won't be the end all. If these books were the end all, guys like Chet Holmes and myself and others would not be paid for our consulting, would not be paid for the strategies that we put together. This is just the nuts and bolts of what's going on and what you have to do. Number three, after your headline hooks them, your body copy has to keep them reading. You got to get, don't give fluff. You got to put the nuts and bolts in there. You got to give them something. In other words, you got to educate them. It's the only way you're going to make this happen and make it happen in a big way. And number four, you have to include the call to action. Now, that may be in the PS, could be in anything, but you have to put that together. If you put all this together, then your advertising is going to shoot through the roof. You're going to see your return on investment in a big, big way. It's the way it works. I don't care if you're using billboards, if you're using signs, if you're using banners, if you're using ad networks, it doesn't matter. you will grab them. The second weapon in marketing is direct mail. And guys, this is great. Listen to this. If you've done a good job with education-based marketing, which we talked about in Chapter 4, you can use it to make your direct mail much more powerful. See, that's the key. A successful direct mail campaign absolutely depends on how regular and consistent your mailings are. Kiplinger is a great financial magazine. They also do a newsletter. I've subscribed to the Kiplinger tax newsletter for years. It's 4 pages, very short, very, very concise. I get in, I read it, I know what I need to go look for, and I can find it. I would not trade that. Russell Brunson, who I mentioned a minute ago, I'm in his program. It costs me about $100 a month, and I get unlimited information on how to go about, and it's direct mail. I mean, he covers everything, but he uses direct mail to make this happen. Whether it's a small letter, whether it's a postcard, whether it's a pamphlet, if you're constantly dripping, especially in direct mail, it's going to be a little bit more expensive up front, but your return on investment will be higher because you're not just out there targeting some flippant list. You're actually working deeply and heavy with your customer base. It's beautiful. The third marketing weapon, corporate literature. Now, corporate literature is a unique deal here, and Chet talks about this. He says, again, the key to using these marketing weapons to their maximum potential is to coordinate them so that the look, feel, and content of each weapon is consistent with the other. Look at your direct mail pieces. Your brochure should draw from your education-based marketing efforts and should be a miniature version of your stadium speech or core story. That means it has to be riveting data that sets the buying criteria on your behalf. It will use the same exact graphics that you use in your presentation, advertisements, and direct mailing. See, this is huge, and most people miss it. Insurance companies, financial service companies are great at doing this. They use them and beautifully. Most other companies drop the ball. They let their distributors do 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 different things. You don't want to do that. You want to have full control. Your online and offline marketing pieces from the company should all look alike. It must be that way. You got to keep it that way. That's the key to it. When you do that and you do it right, the sky is the limit on what you're going to be able to do, because people love to pick up brochures. They love to pick up literature, but it has to look alike. It has to work. So you can't have one piece this way, one piece that way. People aren't going to be able to understand it. That is not to mean that in different marketing channels you won't use different pieces. Okay, I wouldn't expect you to use the same marketing piece if you're focused in on the Generation Y and you're advertising on MTV that you would use if you're focused in on country music television talking to a middle-aged group. Won't work. But the content should be the same. And that's what you've got to look at. That's what your focus should be. See, I just love this, man. It's beautiful when you look at it. Number 4, public relations. Folks, there's this old scenario that says any publicity is good publicity. That only works in Hollywood, and it isn't even working good there right now. You need to be up on what's going on. You need to keep your brand focused. You need to know what people are saying. Starbucks is phenomenal at this. Man, they go out there and they get in the conversation, good, bad, or ugly. They're digging into it. They're working through it. They're making sure they're kicking butt and they're on top of what's happening. All of us have to be that way. You have to have good relations. And I tell you where it starts. It starts at home. It starts with customer service. When you get a complaint from a customer, from a client, a subscriber, whatever you call them, man, you shouldn't put that off. You should be calling that person right on the phone. When I worked at ProStep, this is what I was best at, is putting out the fires. When there was a complaint, we did our best to handle them. I'd get them on the telephone, no matter if it was a chargeback to a distributor, to a top leader, frustrated. We wanted to cover it. We wanted to find out what was happening, what was going on. You have to do this. It's imperative that you stay up on top of it. Marketing weapon number 5, personal contact. Listen to what Chet writes here. I think this is good. You can advertise to me, direct mail to me, or send me an article, but now I'm on the phone with your company. This is the most potent form of marketing. None of your marketing efforts will have as much impact on your client as personal contact with your salespeople or customer service rep. Since personal contact is such a powerful marketing weapon, we devote several chapters in the rest of the book on this. Folks, this is where people fall short. See, you can have a sales team, but if they're not customer-centric, matter of fact, you can build a great business. But if the CEO does not understand people, does not understand the importance of taking care of that customer, I'm not saying customers are always right, but you have to take care of the customer. And if you take care of the customer, the sky is going to be the limit. They can be your best weapon. See, that's the thing about that. Number six, trade shows and market education. I've got a young lady that I can counsel and consult with. She was on my Invisys Direct team when we were in network marketing. She does a phenomenal job now that they are a direct marketing company. She's one of the two teams they have in Boise, Idaho. Here's what she does: trade shows, social events, education. She's a master at this. And it does three things. One, it gets her noticed. She has now become the expert when it comes to information security. Number two, it drives traffic to her team where she constantly has a flow of prospects to contact. In her case, B2B contacts. Number three, obviously I just said that, it captures the leads. You know, she doesn't always just do business. What's ended up is she's gotten a lot of personal stuff out of that. See, that's what you're looking for. You want to get noticed. You want to be the expert. Chet writes this: What can you do to really stand out in a crowd? Nothing, including great products and superb selling, will matter if you can't get noticed. Most trade shows are boring, booth after booth, and folks hawking their wares. What you have to do is make it a fun booth, place that looks more interesting and exciting than any other booths, and it can be done. It's great. You know, this is the kicker, folks. You've got to look at this. You've got to make it happen. When you make it happen like this, the sky is the limit on where you can go. And I cannot reiterate this enough. And marketing weapon number seven, my favorite of all, I'll tell you that right now, the internet. Listen to this. This is great statistics for people that are nutheads like I am. In 1995, only 5 million people used this marketing weapon. The number jumped to 105 million just 4 years later. Today, virtually everyone uses it. Amazon.com may have struggled in its early years, but it still took $1 billion in market share from other booksellers. Because Amazon grew with the internet, the company reached $1 billion in sales in 4 years flat. Predating the internet, other bookseller chain took 50 years to reach $1 billion in sales. See the power of the net? The power of the internet can take a single mom today and make her a multi-million dollar single mom tomorrow. It can take an out-of-work dad trying to support his family in a down economy and make him financially independent and change his life forever. You do five things when you work on the internet if you do this correctly. One, you capture leads. Number two, you build relationships. Number three, you interact as much as possible. That's where social media comes in. You offer webinars, which is basically a web-based seminar. You convert traffic into sales. It's those things that will keep you hopping. It's those things that will build your business. See, this is the kicker. Now, you may be saying, but Troy, where do we do it? Well, it all starts with your website or your blog. The excuse anymore of, well, I don't have the money to launch a blog is wrong. You can go to WordPress.com. and launch your blog. You can go to blogger.com, launch your blog. If you want to have it more of interactive, you can go to Facebook, MySpace, anything like that. You can go to Ning.com. Get it up there and get it running. You'll learn. Now you can go hire it done. You know, when we do things like that, it's, you know, we will build stuff out. I'm not trying to get your business, I'm just telling you there's no excuse whatsoever. You have to kick this thing into high gear. You know, you start with a website, then you start getting your social profiles out there. You want to build on that. You're probably going to want to put a, depending on the product or service, you're going to want to put a landing page, a splash page together. Really kick it up and make it happen. Make it do it right. Folks, no matter what it is, you're in control. You get to make the difference. Most people blow it off. Most people don't take the time. You know, if nothing else, write down these seven areas: advertising, direct mail, corporate literature, public relations, personal contact, market education, and the internet. They all intertwine, they all work together, they all are part of what it takes to build your business right. And at the end of the day, isn't that the key? Building your business right. What good is building a business if it's going to be out of business in 2 years? You want to build with longevity. That's the key to creating the ultimate sales machine and watching your business or your network marketing organization flourish 30, 40, 50 years down the road, passing it from generation to generation. That's the key. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking Chapter 8, The Eyes Have It. Attract and close more buyers by using more compelling visuals, plus the biggest mistake everyone makes when presenting. You don't want to miss the show. Folks, remember, live life like it's an epic adventure. Be back here tomorrow. Radio for your mind. I'll see you at the top.